This is Sam Sebrin from Athens, and you are listening to WGXC Acra 90.7 FM and WGXC.org.
The Catskill Food Pantry is located in the Parish Hall of St. Luke's Episcopal Church at 50 William Street in Catskill. The pantry is open to the public every Friday from 1 to 4 p.m. Healthy food is a right. For more information, please feel welcome to visit the pantry, call us at 551-299-2456, check the website at catskillfoodpantry.org, or connect with us on Facebook at Catskill Food Pantry.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Upstate Films, featuring first-run and repertory films at movie theaters located in Rhinebeck and Saugerties, as well as live music, filmmaker conversations, staged readings, community events, variety shows, magic, comedy, and more. The latest schedules, as well as upcoming pop-up events at the community theater in Catskill, can be found at upstatefilms.org.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Mike Almari in Catskill, New York. WGXC monthly supporters care deeply about Creative Community Radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
This is the Public News Service Daily Newscast for May 14th, 2024. I'm Mike Moen. Testimony resumes today in the hush money trial of former President Donald Trump. Yesterday, Trump's former attorney Michael Cohen was on the witness stand. According to the Associated Press, Cohen provided jurors with an insider's account of payments to silence women's claims of sexual encounters with Trump, saying the payments were directed by Trump to fend off damage to his 2016 White House bid. Cohen is expected to be on the witness stand for several days and face intense grilling by Trump's attorneys, who have painted him as a liar who is trying to take down the presumptive Republican presidential nominee. In other news, the Wisconsin Supreme Court on Monday took up arguments in a highly watched case concerning ballot drop boxes. Supporters of lifting a near-total ban say such a move would help a range of voters across the state. In 2022, the state's highest court and its then-conservative majority ruled that drop boxes should be limited to election clerk offices. But with a liberal majority now in place, the court is revisiting the issue. Drop boxes have become popular among voters in a post-pandemic world. Janelle Ludwig-Krause leads the group Grassroots Organizing Western Wisconsin and says many people benefit from having different places to securely return their absentee ballots.
Busy farmers who need to be on their field when the conditions are dry, it makes it possible for parents that are juggling a million things to cast a ballot. For people with disabilities.
She adds drop boxes aren't just beneficial to certain geographic locations, noting they help voters in both urban and rural areas. Broader debates about this option tend to focus on whether the boxes invite fraud and could be tampered with. But the Bipartisan Policy Center says they're set up by government officials and are often under 24-hour surveillance. Election analysts say the outcome of this case could have a significant impact on the 2024 presidential race, with Wisconsin again forecast as a battleground state. A new Indiana law is stirring debate in university classrooms where students are learning to become teachers. Joel Ullery reports.
Ball State University professor Sharon Fraser Burgess is afraid the legislation might have a chilling effect on academic discourse and prevent her from creating an environment where students feel heard and know they won't face retaliation for disagreeing with her.
There is very little consideration for bad faith actors. In a classroom like mine, where we're doing this difficult work that takes an entire semester to take full form.
GOP State Senator Spencer Deary of Lafayette authored the law. He says it will broaden intellectual diversity on campuses by requiring professors to present multiple viewpoints and establishes a path for students and staff to report perceived political biases. This story was produced with original reporting from Alexandra Appleton for Chalkbeat. I'm Joe Ullery reporting.
This is PNS. Several U.S. airlines are suing to block the Biden administration from requiring greater transparency over fees that the carriers charge their passengers. They say a new rule would confuse consumers by giving them too much information during the ticket buying process. According to the Associated Press, the U.S. Transportation Department said Monday it will vigorously defend the rule against what it calls hidden junk fees. The trade group Airlines for America says the department is going beyond its authority by attempting to, quote, regulate private business operations in a thriving marketplace, unquote. The airlines say the administration hasn't shown that consumers can't get information about fees already. The transportation announced the new rule in April. It would require airlines and travel agents to disclose upfront charges for baggage and canceling or changing a reservation. Airlines must show the fees on the first website page where they quote a price for a flight. The agency estimated the rule will save consumers more than $500 million a year. The state of South Dakota ranks fifth in the nation for its rate of refugee resettlements per capita, and that rate increased dramatically in the last year. That's according to the Immigration Research Initiative. Kathleen Shannon has the details.
More refugees, or people unable to return to their home countries due to persecution, are resettling in the U.S. following historic declines during the Trump administration. According to the LSS Center for New Americans, South Dakota took in over 200 refugees last year. That's up from about 50 the year before, a 320% jump. The national rate increased 135% in that time. President and CEO of LSS South Dakota, Rebecca Kiso Knutson, says those numbers are manageable.
Still a pretty small number in our state, and definitely a size that we feel we can responsibly integrate.
The numbers don't include arrivals through Uniting for Ukraine, a separate federal program that resettled over 250 individuals in the state last year. LSS South Dakota is the sole resettlement agency in the state and works mostly in Sioux Falls, where Kiso Knutson says the school districts are welcoming, but finding affordable housing is a challenge, one faced by most communities doing similar work. I'm Kathleen Shannon.
Lastly, more than one in five Americans is a woman of color, and a new poll shows they're not feeling heard and want policymakers to address the issues they care about. The poll comes from a coalition of civil rights groups called Intersections of Our Lives. Lupe Rodriguez with the National Latina Institute for Reproductive Justice says while motivation across the electorate is lower than in the past, candidates who want to win must pay attention to women of color.
We should not be seen as low propensity voters. We need to be seen as high potential voters, and folks can't afford to take us for granted.
The poll found nearly 9 in 10 women of color say voting is extremely or very important. And that's the Public News Service Daily Newscast for May 14th, 2024. I'm Mike Moen. A reminder, you can always find more stories at publicnewsservice.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Wednesday, May 15th. Local early morning temperatures range from 53 degrees in Tannersville to 58 in Skodak. Regional average soil temperature is 58 degrees. Pollen levels for today will be medium, and that's because today will be rainy all day. Maybe a break in the afternoon. A high of 66 happens at 4 p.m. Overnight, the rain keeps rolling and the temperatures fall to 56 degrees. Tomorrow, more rain is expected all day and we see a high of 68 at 4 p.m. Rain ends by midnight and we get 54 degrees overnight. Friday will be warm and dry with a high of 76. Saturday, temperatures make it up to 69 degrees and the rain returns and hangs out all weekend. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 3:39 a.m., high tide at 9:34 a.m. Low tide comes again at 4:32 p.m., then high tide once again at 10:20 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 63 degrees and the tide strength will be low. Sunset today will be at 7:54 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:30 a.m. Looking way up, we see X-class flare chances are at 40%. Plasma winds will be average at 542 kilometers per second with a thin density of 1 proton per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 4 megahertz till dark, then fair across the board overnight with good conditions actually rearing their ugly head below 14 megahertz. There are no chances for aurora this evening. The current sunspot number is 185, and this has been the better weather for Wednesday, May 15th, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
These are dangerous times.
end like a long walk home when the music stops. Take a tip from me, took it to the park when you're on your own. It's a long walk home. Well, if they follow you, don't look back like Dylan in the movies. On your own, if they follow you, it's not your money that they're after, boy, it's you. Pure, easy listening, settle down on the pillow soft. When they've all gone home, you can concentrate on the ones you love. You can concentrate, hey, now they've gone. But if they follow you, don't look back like Dylan in the movie. On your own, if they follow you, it's not your mind that they're after, boy, it's you. If we all went back to another time, I will love you over. I will love you over. I will love you. If they follow you, don't look back like Dylan in the movies. On your own, turn the light on in your room.
Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda. I'm Amanda.
I'm Jenny.
And we're coming to you live from WGXC's brand new station here on Main Street, Catskill. It's very exciting to be here in the light pouring in from the big window.
Wow. It's so exciting.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I can't wait for somebody to walk past us.
I know. For those of you who don't know, Jenny and I are a twice a month, sometimes three times a month, radio show about movies. Most episodes, Jenny and I pick a theme and then we get on the airwaves to talk about the movies that we watched around that theme. And we haven't been on the airwaves for
A little over a month.
So yeah. It's exciting to be back on the airwaves and back on the airwaves in a new studio.
Hi, I'm so glad to be here.
I know. Usually in the old studio, Jenny and I were seated next to each other, which was great because it's like we're watching a movie together. But this is even better because we're talking to
each other.
I know. I'm looking you right in the eyes.
We're sitting across the table from each other, and it feels so good.
It's so beautiful.
I don't got to wear my headphones because there's speakers.
It's amazing.
There's no feedback in our mics.
Yeah. I know. Do tell us if there's feedback in our mics, but I don't hear anything. It sounds great.
I don't think so. So I don't, I can't recall the exact address of the news station, but we're right next to Made X Hudson.
393, baby.
393. So very important. There's a big opening here because it's also an art gallery. It's also Nonchalant Gallery as well as the new WGXC station. And there's a big opening here on the 25th.
May 25th, baby, which is next Saturday. Not this upcoming one, but the one after.
Exactly. And our very dear friend, Sonia Rusco, is going to be the artist presented at this opening. So you have to come.
You got to come. It's going to be great. Everyone you know is going to be here, and it's going to be so sick.
Don't look like a fool.
Come on, man. Don't embarrass us like this.
So as always, we're going to tell you about what's playing in the theaters in our area. And I'm going to start off by telling you about what's playing at the Greenville Drive-In. That's right.
Yay.
It's drive-in season again.
Back. I'm so glad.
So the Greenville Drive-In in Greenville, New York, otherwise known as Drive-In 32, has a little programming on their website for May. On May 17th, they're playing Guardians of the Galaxy. It's a free screening.
Oh.
And it's a takeover by the Greenville MSHS PTSA. Starts at 7:30. Admission is free. May 24th, they're playing Shrek. And May 31st, Wave Farm, that is
Yay.
Who puts on WGXC, presents Matmos and Negative Land plus Sue C., with a Rodney Allen Greenblatt opening. So that is going to be an amazing show. I'm going to be there. I'm very, very excited. So check out more information about tickets and all that at drivein32.com.
Amazing. I'm so glad the drive-ins are back. Huge news.
It's huge news. So once again, Jenny and I have been gone for a whole month. Jenny and I work together off of the airwaves in regular three-dimensional life. We have a day job together, and for that day job we were gone for a whole month, and we came back just in time for the drive-ins.
It's so nice. It's like the weather turned. Everything was beautiful. It's sunny and 75. The drive-ins are open.
They are.
Summer is here.
Should I just tell you about what is at the highway drive-in?
I feel
drive-in,
like you just
since
should.
We're on the subject.
I'm ready to hear
all
it.
Right. So the highway drive-in in Coxsackie is also back open. And for this weekend, so after Memorial Day, they're often open during the whole week. But for right now, it's just the weekends. And for this weekend, on screen one, there's four screens, and they're all double features. Screen one is If and Sonic the Hedgehog. Screen two is Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes and The First Omen. Screen three is Rear Window and Vertigo.
Ooh,
very exciting. Fun. And screen four is The Fall Guy and Abigail. And you can find out more about showtimes and all that at highwaydrivein.com. That's HIWAYdrivein.com.
Incredible. Wow. I may be finding myself at the drive-in this weekend. That's great news.
Me as well.
All right. And now I'm going to tell you about what's playing at the Crandall Theater over in Chatham. We have Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. We also have opening soon on Memorial Day weekend, Furiosa, a Mad Max saga, which I hear is great, by the way. The reviews slowly trickling in.
I'm excited because the first trailers I saw, the effects didn't look good to me. And then I saw another one recently where it kind of leveled out.
I saw the same thing. And I also saw a tweet that was like, well, you guys don't even remember when the Mad Max Fury Road trailer came out. Everybody also thought it looked really bad. And it's like, well, will we learn our lesson?
I know. Maybe we will.
Maybe. Who's to say? And then they only have one other upcoming film, which is Uncropped, coming in June. So if you're interested in any of those films or any other upcoming shows at the Crandall Theater, you can head on over to crandalltheater.org.
Amazing. I'm going to tell you about what's playing at the Wyndham Theater in Wyndham, New York. We have If, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. I really got to slow down
words.
On that one. And The Fall Guy. So you can check out more about that at WyndhamTheater.com. That's WIndham Theater.com.
All right, and now we're going to head a little bit further south to the Upstate Films locations, starting with the Star Cinema in Rhinebeck. We have Challengers, Ryuichi Sakamoto Opus, Do Not Expect Too Much from the End of the World, Wildcat, Pallenberg, Lindsay Hogg in Conversation with Joe Hagen, and I Saw the TV Glow with director Jane Schoenbrunn, which I have two tickets to. It's this Friday, just saying. If anybody else is interested. And then heading on over to the Socrates location, otherwise known as the Orpheum Theater, we have The Tuba Thieves with director Allison O'Daniel, Back to Black, If, Seven Sentinels, Lighthouses of the Hudson River, The Fall Guy, The Old Oak, and Challengers. And if you're interested in any of these movies and, you know, any information about them or buying tickets ahead of time, you can head on over to upstatefilms.org.
Amazing.
We'll be right back. Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
In the final days of New York State's legislative session, supporters and lawmakers from across the state spoke at a recent press conference at the state capitol in favor of passing parole justice legislation, specifically the Elder Parole and Fair and Timely Parole Acts. Hudson Mohawk Magazine was there. I'm Andrea Cunliffe, and I bring you the following excerpts from that event.
Crime Victims, Crime and Correction Committee passed the Fair and Timely. The bill has now been referred to the Senate Finance Committee, so we need to pass it through Finance. We need to get it to the floor. We need to finally pass Fair and Timely Parole.
Yeah. 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 Bring it to the floor. Bring it to the floor.
We also, just as important, we must pass the Elder Parole.
Yeah.
Just more fair. We need this for our elders who are incarcerated. More than 25% of people who are incarcerated are older adults, are seniors. These are our elders, their guidance, an instrumental, a critical role in public safety, in improving public safety, in guiding young people, in breaking through cycles of violence. They can only have that opportunity if they are able to go home, if they truly have a fighting chance to be released and return to their community, to their families. Fair and timely parole, they cannot just reject someone based on the crime that they were convicted of, but have to consider all of the other factors for someone to be released. The work that they have done in the time they've been incarcerated, the character they have demonstrated, and their plans likely to contribute positively to their community when and if they have the opportunity to be released. And so these bills work together. We need both of them. It is beyond time for us to finally pass Elder Parole and Fair and Timely Parole.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Thank you so much for being our fearless lead. We need our communities back together. Next up, we are going to bring up Parole Justice Champion, Assemblymember Kellis. Thank you.
We have a system of corrections, and we need to keep reminding the state that it is a system of corrections, not punishment. It is a system of transformation, not punishment. But all of us, we need to keep saying that. And what does correction look like? It looks like someone identifying something that they want to change in themselves. They work to change that, and then we recognize the change. If we have a system where they are working and working and working to correct something that they themselves are choosing to correct, and then we refuse to recognize it, then we have a system of punishment. And we need to call it what it is. So everyone, please, we need to remind people that both of these bills, Fair and Timely Parole and Elder Parole, give an opportunity, an opportunity to be seen in front of a parole board. So both of these bills treat people with dignity. It honors their movement, it honors their transformation, it brings them back into the community to be with families and to invest in these communities and prevent continual intergenerational poverty and criminalization.
All of the work that they've been doing, Luciano.
That is exactly what's happening.
Yeah.
They're dying in our prisons at an early age.
Yes.
58 is fairly young for someone to die without medical attention. This is the mighty, powerful state of New York. We don't sentence people to death.
No.
We sentence them for rehabilitation. We sentence them so that there is an end date where they can come back to their families.
Yes.
There are mothers here. There are brothers here. There are cousins here that have been waiting for decades to see their loved ones. Imagine being a mother waiting 20 or 25 years to see her child away from a prison system. We need to invest in these people, the elderly community that's coming out. Invest and make sure that they have everything they need to be rehabilitated. 2% recidivism.
That's nothing.
It's not the elderly committing the crimes.
That's right.
You know why our young folks are out there?
Grandma and grandpa.
Their fathers are not. Their fathers are incarcerated.
Yeah.
Their fathers have been there for 20-something years, and there's no one to guide
them.
So you know what? We're $522 million a year can be invested in rehabilitation. So I want to thank you all for being here.
Our families are suffering.
And we need justice.
We need parole justice in New York State.
That's right. Thank you so much. We need them home. Next up, we have parole justice champion, Senator Jackson.
So we're talking about parole justice. We're talking about fair to people who are behind the wall. This is about justice and equity for our community. We know how important these bills are. We have a responsibility to each other to push and push and push. 18 days left of session. 18 days of possibilities. 18 days of opportunity for our loved ones who can be here. We are going to have to fight for them every single day to get these bills across the line. Are we going to fight together?
Yeah!
They are dependent upon us, so let's make sure we do it for them. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
What do we want?
Parole justice.
What do we want?
Yeah!
I'm Assembly Member Chris Burdick. I represent the 93rd Assembly District in Westchester County. And I go into those institutions frequently, and it is just wrong for people to rot in jail if they don't have the opportunity. Don't believe the lies. This is not a free pass. This is an opportunity to be heard by the parole board.
That's right.
It's fair and timely, time and again, they're passed over because they're judged by their worst moment in their lives. Anything that they've done subsequently to rehabilitate themselves, passed over. Not even considered. That's not right. And elder parole, we know for a fact that people age much more quickly behind bars. This is a social justice. This is a racial justice. These are also a question of the safety of our community. And we need to have productive members of our society who are released from incarceration because the system should be rehabilitating. And they should have that opportunity. I am a fierce advocate for these bills, and I won't rest until we get them over the
hill. Yeah! What do we want?
World justice!
What do we want it?
Now!
What do we want?
World justice!
What do we want it?
Now!
This has been Andrea Cunliffe from the Hudson. This has been Andrea Cunliffe for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine. reporting from the state capital of New York.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Here from New Zealand is the Tall Dwarfs with the brain that wouldn't die. There is no cause for concern, Skyfurrows say on their 2023 album Reflect and Oppose. Here is the song in question.
From above, nobody says, "I wish I had a camera anymore."
looking at me, he says, he rolls away from me, and that distance is a mile. One can get used to anything if the mind permits it. We look backward toward infinity. We carry old values, both of us. He stands on a beach as shells pulverize. I can see him in the gray morning light. Trees and hills from underwater.
the water is my body giving out on me.
Welcome to 2024 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
We do not believe what is happening in Gaza is a genocide. We have been firmly on record rejecting that proposition.
National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan repeats the White House position that what Israel is doing does not amount to genocide. Sullivan says there has to be better protections for civilians and a workable post-war plan. Israel is already having to repeatedly retake parts of northern and central Gaza after Hamas fighters reappeared there, in a way some say suggests an endless guerrilla war. But the administration faces criticism from both sides for pausing some arms shipments. On Meet the Press, South Carolina Republican Lindsey Graham said Israel is justified in using the most powerful weapons.
We decided to end the war by the bombing Hiroshima and Nagasaki with nuclear weapons. That was the right decision. Give Israel the bombs they need to end the war they can't afford to lose.
Michael Cohen, former fixer and lawyer for former President Donald Trump, has started testifying in Trump's hush money trial. The defense will likely attack his credibility, but Cohen also faced that issue when testifying to Congress in 2019.
I am here under oath to correct the record, to answer the committee's questions truthfully, and to offer the American people what I know about President Trump.
Donald Trump slammed Judge Juan Merchan and called the trial a scam as he left the Manhattan courthouse Monday. Republican VP hopeful and South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem has been banned from entering nearly 20% of her state after six Native American nations banished her from their reservations. Noem accused tribal leaders of benefiting from drug cartels. Meanwhile, she's still doing damage control on cable news for shooting a 14-month-old dog.
This was a vicious, dangerous dog that was a working dog. And I had to make a choice between the safety of my children and an animal that was killing livestock and attacking people.
The New Hampshire Senate will vote this week on a bipartisan gun violence bill prompted by a deadly hospital shooting last year. The bill would let the state report mental health and other disqualifying issues to the federal background check system. State Senator Deborah Altshuler of Stratum calls it a historic move to close a loophole.
We have people who are a danger to themselves and others around them and struggling with severe mental health issues who have access to firearms because we have zero stopgap.
A new statue at the U.S. Capitol honors Arkansas civil rights activist Daisy Gatson Bates, best known for her work with the Little Rock Nine, who integrated the Central High School. Each state is allowed two statues, and the one of Bates and another of musician Johnny Cash will replace two less-known 19th-century figures. I'm Farah Siddiqui for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Fairmass, Nevada had its ballot questions written and vetted by the Secretary of State to put a citizen-run independent redistricting commission on November's ballot. But May 10th, the Nevada Supreme Court threw them out and may have damaged Nevada's direct democracy in the process. Nevada's legislative redistricting maps are currently created by the legislature. The Fair Maps proposal would have created a 7-member citizen commission to create the redistricting maps instead. Two lawsuits challenged the two ballot questions for creating a state agency without constitutionally establishing the funding for it and for not fully explaining the commission's timeline. Fairmaps Nevada argued that the cost of the independent commission would be offset by the legislature's budgeted redistricting funding. The Nevada Supreme Court upheld a lower court's decision that the ballot questions were unconstitutional, unfunded mandates. Sandra Cosgrove, organizer of Fairmaps Nevada, told the Nevada Independent that she was disappointed in the ruling and that the decision could have far-reaching consequences. Quote, I think we've lost the ability to run constitutional amendment ballot questions with this ruling. Everyone who wants to run a constitutional amendment is now subject to a legal challenge that says if they want to spend $1, they have to raise a tax to spend that dollar, Cosgrove told the Independent. Find more on the ballot questions and the decision at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Wednesday, May 15th. Local early morning temperatures range from 53 degrees in Tannersville to 58 in Skodak. Regional average soil temperature is 58 degrees. Pollen levels for today will be medium, and that's because today will be rainy all day. Maybe a break in the afternoon. A high of 66 happens at 4 p.m. Overnight, the rain keeps rolling and the temperatures fall to 56 degrees. Tomorrow, more rain is expected all day and we see a high of 68 at 4 p.m. Rain ends by midnight and we get 54 degrees overnight. Friday will be warm and dry with a high of 76. Saturday, temperatures make it up to 69 degrees and the rain returns and hangs out all weekend. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 3:39 a.m., high tide at 9:34 a.m. Low tide comes again at 4:32 p.m., then high tide once again at 10:20 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 63 degrees and the tide strength will be low. Sunset today will be at 7:54 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:30 a.m. Looking way up, we see X-class flare chances are at 40%. Plasma winds will be average at 542 kilometers per second with a thin density of 1 proton per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 4 MHz till dark, then fair across the board overnight with good conditions actually rearing their ugly head below 14 MHz. There are no chances for aurora this evening. The current sunspot number is 185, and this has been the better weather for Wednesday, May 15th, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Feeling like I'm all alone, and dreams are haunting me. Peeling off your winter coat, come and notice me. I take you off and on your own. I'm trying not to speak, too involved in what I want. I need your energy. Take a ride.
Screaming.